I hope, and that you were edified by the communion song that Marcus led. I hope you were listening and edified to the comments that Joe made regarding communion. This is wonderful, and I commend both of these men for what they did. And that not only did they speak of themselves, it's not that, but the Spirit that led them to do and to say what they did. It's wonderful. I'd like to share a story. It's a story that Jesus told. Jesus told his disciples this story. Told them about a man who was able to receive the grace of God. That individual was willing and open to receive the grace of God. The problem with him was that he was unable to process it. He received from God the grace and the mercy. He had great appreciation of receiving the grace of God. But he committed a fatal mistake. And that mistake was, he did not process the grace of God. Now I'll tell you the story. I'll read with you the story that Jesus read that brought about this fact of the statements that I just got through saying. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter. Start with verse 21 and read with me to verse 35. I'll probably be quick about it. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times." Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times." And then Jesus went on to tell them the story of the statement that I introduced. Jesus said, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will thing. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. How would you feel if you had been forgiven a debt you could not pay? I think that most of us would be at a point of not even being able to describe the in-depth feeling of gratitude. I would think But look at what the servant did. Verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me. I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your servant, on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus concludes the story, the narrative, this way. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you. Each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Unquote. That's the narrative. Well, in further research, I came across an interesting thought regarding the man that had a debt of 10,000 bags of gold. The ESV Study Bible makes this observation. Some say that would be equivalent to $6 billion in today's standards. Think you'd have enough money to pay back? We all know that we could wind up going to jail for non-payment of such a debt. With a foolish servant being as arrogant as he was, did not relate him being forgiven the debt that he owed, equivalent to $6 billion. The story tells us that the man that owed that great debt said, be patient, I'll pay you back. You think so? You think you could pay a note of a debt of $6 billion? You wouldn't even get it, you wouldn't even get started on the interest of that note. The scripture tells us that that servant fell on his knees. Brother, I bet you would have to, you would do the same. I know that I would. I would lose all sense of dignity. I would lose all sense of pride. And I would fall at the person that I was indebted to for that much. I would fall to my knees. Jesus, what is it that you're saying? Can you relate that to me? Jesus, could you convey that to the audience here this morning? So he fell to his knees, and his master was so gracious. I don't know if there was anyone in this room that would be willing to forgive a $6 billion debt. This master did. I must not forget that Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. I must not forget that if you and I are subjects of the kingdom of heaven, it is very applicable to everyone in this room. There are no exemptions. I must not forget that if you're listening with both ears and an open heart, I guarantee you this morning, God will touch you. God will get to your heart and convey a message that you and I are due to hear and to act upon. So, Jesus, I don't know that I understand fully what the connotation of this story is. But he made it as simple as he could so that it could be relatable. So that you and I, the listening audience, subjects of his kingdom, could grab hold of this story and apply it to ourselves. In Romans chapter 5, don't lose this passage because we're coming back. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse 6, this is what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church of that in Rome. And he tells them the following. Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Listen to this. Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, he says to them, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That means whatever indebtedness you had with him is gone. It did. Greater than the master of the parable that Jesus related. This is where I have a little bit of problem. I don't know if I'm the only one. I dismiss the ugliness of my sins. I don't give it a second thought. I don't know about you. I don't give it much thought. In fact, to tell you the truth, I have very little appreciation of being forgiven. I don't know about you. I think that that is what Jesus is touching the nerve on this parable. He doesn't want you to continue thinking in those terms, minimizing God's forgiveness. Or am I the only one that does that? I don't think so. Miguel, why would you do that? I'm only human. Are you human? Paul says, look what he's done for you. This should not be dismissed from you. This should never be dismissed from you. The reconciliation that God made with you back yonder where you were baptized to this second has not diminished. But I think that the value that I have for it has. Or am I the only one that has done that? Oh, me. I was very touched by the song that you led for communion, by the thoughts that you gave you at communion, because I was thinking in terms of this as well. So, well, isn't that something? God has done so much for us. The mistake that that man, that that servant committed, was that his appreciation of being forgiven the debt was very short-lived. That's why the following week, the following month, or the following year, he was able to apprehend his co-servant who owed him less in comparison to the debt that he owed to the master. Do you know what we do when somebody hurts my feelings? When someone says something dumb? Very often, because we're human, we do dumb things. I hold on to it. I'm not going to let go. Even if I get you to confess that you did wrong, I'm still going to hold on to it. And minimize what God has done to me for me. You and I dare to do that? Minimize what God has done for us and hold on to a lesser offense by a brother or sister and not let go? Now you tell me, where's the wisdom in that? Well, did you notice that the way that Jesus ended the story? After he concluded with the parable, what was the application? Verse 35. What was the application? Jesus, what was it that you intended to convey to your listening audience? This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one, each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister. From your heart. If it's anything less, you're going to hold on to it. I know what I'm telling you. If it's anything less than the heart involved, you're going to hold on to it. You're not going to be as forgiving. It'll be conditional. It would be with certain qualifications that you set forth. And that's a damnable position to be in. Jesus seems to imply that unless we do this, God won't forgive us our sins. If I'm not mistaken, he actually said that, didn't he? He actually said that. Unless you do that, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. You'll break God's heart. Because God will say, I did you a good thing. You seem to be grateful. For a while, you seem to be grateful. And then you let life and turmoil get in the way. And you lost that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Look at what You know who was there listening to the parable that Jesus made? One of his apostles, there were several of them, but one of them was Peter. Look, I guess it registered on Peter. I guess it did, because go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I guess it stuck with Peter. Here in the parable, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and in starting with verse 22, this is how the Apostle Peter would relate it in his own words, what he remembered of the story that Jesus gave. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 22 and 23. And he would say to those recent converts, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. If you don't love your brother and sister deeply from the heart, you can easily hold on to others' mistakes, because it's not from the heart. And no one knows it better than you. For you, so let me just reread it. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring Word of God. So, God has equipped us. You might say, I don't know how to forgive someone from the heart and read your Bible. The Word, the imperishable Word, is where this message is coming from. That was over 2,000 years ago today that Jesus made this statement. If Jesus grants us another 2,000 years, well, you and I won't be around. But if He grants us, grants people 2,000 more years, it'll still hold true as the first day that Jesus spoke this parable. Wow. There's another way that we might not process the grace of God. You know which way that is? I can think of another way. Maybe you can think of other ways, but I can think of one way you and I do not process the grace of God. And that is simply by not using it for ourselves. It is accessible, it is there, but we just don't use it. How do you mean that? Well, just read, Hebrews, go with me and read with me. In the gospel, rather, in the letter that Paul, that the writer of Hebrews refers to, in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 16. I'll read this. And this is the way this writer would put it. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 4, and starting in verse 16. Or just reading verse 16, the writer would say, including himself, the writer, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. When is your time of need? My time of need is always. Approach God. Approach God's throne of grace. This confidence that he speaks about is not an arrogant, proud sense of confidence. You owe me. Not that way. Confidence. Listen to me. In the sense that you trust God, that God will do what God said he would do. That confidence. That trust. You approach him with that confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. Do you ever find yourself in need of being helped? Well, so it's there for us to use. When it's done in the way it should be done, according to how the Bible describes it, it'll work every time. You know, I've heard people say so often, I've had people say, some will call me hermano Zuniga, others will call me brother Zuniga. I tried it. This thing about Christian, being a Christian, I tried it, didn't work. It didn't work? You tried it? You tried it, apparently, your way, and it didn't work? Well, I understand that. How about trying it God's way? And doing it from the depth of your soul, of your being. Tell me if it doesn't change. Because God will change you. That's what's happened. There's been people in the church that have been members of the church 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, and more years. And their demeanor doesn't seem to change at all. I am so sorry. You have to live a very miserable life. You have to. because if it's not done God's way, we ain't good for it. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2. Paul to a boy out of a church that was in so much deep trouble, that needed so much help. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Don't do that. Don't keep doing that. Don't keep receiving God's grace in vain. Wait. How can you possibly receive God's grace in vain? By not using it. By not doing it His way. Using God's grace in vain is with your standards, with your viewpoints, as opposed to God. It ain't going to work. No wonder it hasn't worked for so many years. So, we need to learn to process God's grace by our awareness of our need. It's not possible. It is not humanly possible for you and I to receive God's grace and not process it to those around and about. That cannot happen. May God continue to have mercy. May He continue to be forgiving. And may I open my heart this morning. And may this lesson, or this talk, bring about some change for the better of my soul. You're subject to the invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and shall we sing the song of invitation? If you're subject, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, we're willing to do that at this time. Shall we sing?